Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Steve.
Shh.
What?
Shh. I'm not saying anything.
Shh. Welcome to the podcast, episode 316. It's the weekend podcast. I'm joined by Stevenage and Petersfoot.
Yeah.
Hello, Stevenage and Petersfoot. How are you? Okay.
Hello.
I'm
Hello.
Well.
Hello.
So, there we are. It's been another week there, grinding lower. You know what? One time we're going to come on here and say, wow, the market, you can't stop it, can you? And it does happen, you know?
Yeah.
The Santa Rally, people get this wrong. I don't know if you heard Nicola Duke. People think Santa Rally happens in December, all throughout, pretty much. But it's really the back end, the tail end December, that's it, and then it hopefully, you know, carries on into January a little bit. So that is the Santa Rally, and once it starts going, it, you know, it's crazy. Can it keep going up? And it normally does, you know.
Does it happen every year, regardless of how much it's been grinding lower, like it has been recently?
Peter, do you believe in Santa?
No.
What? What?
Yes.
Right. Well, there we are then. I don't know.
That's your investment advice for the week, is it?
Yes.
Do you believe in Santa?
Going to the money manager and fund manager there. Well, if I were you, I'd check all your funds in round about Christmas time for the Santa Rally. Santa? Don't you believe in Santa? Oh, yes, every year. Yes.
That is your Santa impression, isn't it?
Hello, Peter. Have you been a good boy this year?
No.
Do you want to sit on my lap?
Oh, definitely no.
What about you, Stephen? Have you been a good little girl?
Yes.
Oh, good. So, anyway, what's your... Listen, I sent you a bit of homework this week, guys, didn't I?
Yes.
And I tried to do it.
Well, hang on. So, first of all, you had a question about CEB resources, or SEB resources, Stephen, yeah. Didn't you? What was the question?
Why have they been suspended again? Or why have their trading been suspended?
Again?
Well, they've not come back since your podcast last time.
No. What? Wait, sorry, Steve. Sorry, have you been the only person trading shares in CEB Resources? How have you managed to do that? Because everyone else just has been suspended.
Oh, right. No, I've had the option to be able to carry on.
Steve, you're doing pretty well. I've been buying and selling crazy.
It's only this week it's come up with an NA and not applicable. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, that pretty sounds like something else, Steve. And in fact, Andalas Energy. That's what they're called now. They've changed names.
Oh, they've done that?
Yeah, because and it's done via, in fact, a bit of a prize draw through. I set up a Survey Monkey,
yes.
for Dave Whitby there. But it's the old name, it's the ancient name for Sumatra, which is where, of course, Indonesia, that's there. So, is it Andalas Energy, something like that? Yeah, so, there we are.
Apologies, I haven't listened to your last couple of podcasts, so I'm a bit out of the loop.
Why have you been doing it?
I don't know. I haven't caught up with them. Weekend, I'll catch up with them. As soon as we finish recording listening.
This one you're on, you mean?
Yeah. Once we've done this,
so
I'll catch up on this.
I listen to myself, actually. I love a little laugh at myself. Thinking, I'm a funny chap. I'm very funny. I'm very amusing. Yeah. Have a listen to this. I'm glad it makes me laugh and stuff,
I broadcast it. I put it on like speakers on top of my car.
Just go on the bus, just strangers. Yeah. Have a listen to this fellow. Yeah, he's very funny.
I must admit, I've only listened to one podcast this week, and that was your Monday podcast with, what's his name, from
New,
from New Oil. Yeah, New Oil.
New Oil and Gas.
Yeah. What's his name again?
Adam Reynolds.
Adam Reynolds, yes. And,
that was this week, was it? Well, this week's been long, hasn't it? It seems very long to me. Adam Reynolds, yeah, the city's Mr. Fix-It, basically comes in and goes in a shell, gets a reverse takeover, gets an asset. Because essentially, try and list on the stock market is a very complex and expensive thing to do, you know? So ideally, a better way of doing it is get a company that's listed, has a listing on the stock market, and then if you've got an asset and it's not doing anything, like New Oil and Gas, just basically reverse into it. That's what it's called, reverse takeover, pretty much. Reverse into it. So you've got the asset there, and you take up the shell, basically. You jump into the shell. I'm in a shell! Woohoo! And, yeah, that's what happens. And what Anna Reynolds does is basically it looks for companies, you know, with assets, hoping to sort of float, you know, and he'll do it that way, and he'll get the asset in. So that's what's going to happen there, hopefully. Mm.
Do you know what's really interesting to listen to, actually, because, you know, because I put quite a bit of money in there, and obviously didn't sell any of that spike 2 weeks ago, so it can, and now it's, I've gone into minus now, but after listening to that podcast, it's kind of reassured me a bit now. I'm like, yeah, I'll just leave it there, it's fine. I don't mind that I'm a couple of grand down now there.
Look at Steve Moneybags. Ooh, don't mind a couple of grand down here, you know. Don't bother me, you know. Listen, I'll chuck that down the toilet, you know. I wipe my arse for the 50.
Well, we should get Steve to phone Mr. Reynolds and you know, ask for his opinion on, you know, the future and all the rest of it. And we should record that phone call and play it on the podcast.
Yeah, that'd be good. To be honest, he'd probably hang up on Steve. Yeah. Oh, this idiot. Is he winding me up?
Yeah. If you're listening, Adam, I have faith in you.
Yeah.
Adam, faith.
A singer from the 60s. So essentially I sent you, I said, right, look at two stocks. So what stocks are you picking, lads? I did ask Steve last week. I remember there was a gap for about a minute or so while he didn't realise his name was Steve. But Steve, what are you, this is to you, Steve, what were you supposed to be looking at?
Which Hague and
that
London Oil.
That was the week before, you simpleton.
No, it wasn't.
It was, and you went, I went to Asda and I put some petrol in my car and I realised there's oil there. That was your research for last week.
Oh, maybe I've got mixed up and done double research here.
Oh, okay, go on. Oh, this will be good then. I mean, do it even faster again.
Well, no, because you sent like an email of all this stuff to look up on, and I was like, it just confused me, if I'm honest. No. I think we need to sit down when I come down next week or the week after for the Christmas drinks, and maybe we'll have a Christmas party shares chat
seminar.
So essentially, I'll put this on the website, right? It's an acronym, and I said, when you're researching a stock, you know, what do you look for? And I try to get down to four elements, right? And the acronym is cash. C. Do you know how to spell that, Steve?
K. Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so can you read that then? So it's a cash, right? So C stands for cash. And under that little subtitle, C, there's four little subsections. So, revenue. This is all under the heading of cash. Revenue. What are they turning over? Or do they have any revenue? Profit or loss? What's the profit margin? Why are they losing money? If they are losing money, cash in the bank. Or are they in debt? And then fourthly, cash flow. Look at their cash flow statement in their last full results. Are they cash flow positive? You know what I'm saying? So basically, they're not burning more cash than they're actually taking in, essentially. And then, under the A for assets. That's A for cash assets. What's the company selling? Are they selling it? Is there demand for it? Is it a unique product? What's the competition? So you know what an asset is, Steve, don't you?
Yes.
Check out my assets, yeah? Hey, big boy. So that's that, assets. Then the S in cash stands for shares. So these are subsections. What is the share price? Look at the chart. Don't buy a spike. Scale in at support levels. How many shares outstanding for small caps? Hopefully less than a billion. This is, you know, a good thing. Because you often find, and it's a general rule of thumb, but if you've got a small cap, you're talking under 10 mil, even under 50 mil, really, and they've got several billion shares outstanding, there's a good chance they've done placing after placing, issuing, you know, more shares to raise money. So diluting existing shareholders' value. And I think if it's the same management in, and they've been constantly doing that, and not, you know, raising money to pretty much to turn a profit, then what's to stop them continuously doing this, you know? And is it just a lifestyle sort of, you know? Because there are, you know, directors out there, not the best, who treat having a company as a lifestyle product. They just, you know, and pay themselves a nice wage and don't do anything with it. So I always look at the amount of shares in issue and see if they're, you know, in billions. And hopefully less than a billion I look for. Also, what percentage of shares are owned by directors, especially the CEO and CFO? When did they last buy? Worth checking that out.
I couldn't find half this information. That was the first kind of hurdle I was coming across.
Yeah, I was going to say...
As a starter.
I was going to ask your advice, Justin, on that, because some of this information is quite hard to find.
Well, what are you... I mean, I use ADVFN. Right. In fact, do you know what? You can use anything. Even if you go to the London Stock Exchange, I mean, I use ADVFN. I also get alerts on companies. You type in, you know, companies you want to keep a track on. You just put an alert in, and it'll send you an email when they release an RNS, a regular news service, any price-sensitive information. But even if I type in now, LondonStockExchange.com, everything's on there. Go there. And then... In the top there, you've got search for quotes or companies. Give me a company, Steve. Any company you want. Give me a company. Name a company. Name a company. Any company. Go on.
Sony.
No, apart from Sony. Sony. like Tommy Cooper there. No trick. Apart from that. Yeah. No, any company listed on the London Stock Exchange. Sony.
Okay.
Hey, you have no respect.
Go on. Let's go Asian Mets that I know.
You're right.
Arse! Okay, right. Asian Met. So you type in ARS in the search box on London Stock Exchange, and then you click the little link for Asian Met Resources. And then you see little tabs across the screen. News! You see? And under that there is a list of news. Asian Met files technical report. Asian Met's third quarter results. High-grade compromisation. So you've got a statement, placement. So you can see all the things director, shareholders. So halfway down, 4th of September, director of management shareholding, PDMR shareholding. 4th of September, click that link. Comes up there, Asian Met Resources. Anthony Menini! Director and Deputy Chairman!
My lord.
He purchased 3.5 million shares of the company at a price of 1.299 pence per share. And in fact, they are more expensive than that now. So, you know, if you're buying in now, you see, hang on a sec, let's check out a chart here. I can buy this company, you know, at a better price than Tony. Hey, Tony knows. So I think that's a good deal there, isn't it? Surely, you know. If you believe in the company.
Okay, but on like the stats...
How much is 3.5 million?
On the financials and things like that.
35 grand, is it, man? I don't know.
What were you saying?
How much is 3.5 million at 1.3 pence? Have you got your calculator, Steve?
Steve? I've always got it in front of me, yeah.
Go on, then.
It's 35 grand, isn't it?
3.5 million.
35 million?
3.5 million...
Right.
One and a half pence, Steve. How much is that, fella?
It's going to be about 52,000, isn't it?
God, you're typing that hard, Steve. Go on, Steve, what is it?
Oh, you actually want me to work it out? Sorry.
No, I just want to see if you've got a calculator in the house.
Well, a penny is going to be...
Steve obviously thought he was impressing us by saying that, then. I've always got a calculator close. I never use it. I've always got one.
It on. It's solar panelled. It's night time.
So, yeah, so Stevie, 45.5 grand. So he just bought, on the 4th of September, 45.5 grand. I just demonstrated there how easy it was to find, if you know what you're looking for, I suppose, his director's been buying. So, you know?
Run that by me again. London Stock Exchange.
London Stock Exchange. Click in the little magnifying glass for search stocks.
Okay, got it.
And then type Earth in the thing. Click the link for the Asian Met, because you've got a couple of suggestions of companies there. Click Asian Met Resources. So scroll. So you see a couple of links there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. 11th link down on the 4th of September, because it's ordered by date. And you click on that there, and then you opens up the RNS there. See? Mr. Menini purchased the residual shareholding interest in MKTRM Holdings, a significant shareholder of Asian Met, after the company became aware MKTRM. And selling down his share. So a big shareholder was selling down. Tony said, hey, I'll take him off you. know, 1.229. And so he took them off him. So there we are. So that's, you know, that's a. So essentially, he bought there because a shareholder was selling. But, you know, that's the way you can just look for it. Very easy to look for, you know, stuff like that. So anyway,
Speaking of Asian Mets, they've gone down quite a lot today, actually.
Yes, well, speaking of Asian Mets, Steve, I was in London yesterday. Was it Thursday evening? For a big drink up there.
How was that?
I met Tony Menini, who's what I'm. And they're both. Tony Menini, you know, he's a well-fleshed fella, you know. And
larger than life.
Larger than life, yes. And I was chatting to him there. Nice guy. And then I talked to Stephen. Stephen is like, he's a Canadian, but he put it this way, if he was in goal, you imagine him in a goal on a ice hockey team, and you couldn't put a puck past him because he's as wide as he is tall, you know? But,
right.
Yeah, but he's there, and he's a down to earth guy, and he said he's been 20 years in Indonesia, and he swears a lot, to be honest. But he's a guy who's hands-on in the field, sorting out mines, working with people, getting the mine up and running, you know? And he said, I've been living in Indonesia 20 years. And I said, yeah, a couple of people said Indonesia's, corrupt. Every place is corrupt. Just to know how you deal with that. And I've been living there more than anywhere else now in my life. So I am, an Indonesian, pretty much. So yep. You just got to know. And so that's the problem. He said, you get new guys coming into Indonesia looking for assets, trying to get things sorted. No chance. They start bribing people. They take the bribes. Before you know it, they'll be skinned and they get nowhere. So that's not the way you do it. So you don't just bribe people. You've got to work your way in. It's like they're very family orientated, and you've got to trust you a lot. And he said, I've been there 20 years, so I'm like part of the fabric there. And that's why I know Indonesia better than Canada. I sit at the back of my hand. So it's nice talking to him actually about that, So he's a really nice guy. And in fact, that day, that morning, he was off back to Indonesia on the plane. So,
But having met them in the flesh,
I sold
by the sounds of it, there was quite a lot of flesh.
Yeah, I sold everything.
Yeah,
I've invested my money with these charlatans. I mean, literally, I just reaffirmed, honest. And Steve said, listen, Tony there, he said, a fabulous guy to work with. He knows, he knows what he's doing, And he said, I've even taken a pay cut to work with him, so I like him so much. But he gets things done, and that's what I like, because I work with other people who can't do it. He gets things done. And he said to me, actually, he's like a machine. He's like a machine. Yeah, and I suppose he's going to be a bit sort of positive towards Tony, because that's his boss. But he really got a feeling of respect there, But, I'm happy. He said, I want to buy more shares, but at the moment, I've got a small window to buy shares in, because obviously with a director, you've got you can't buy at any point when there's news about to come out, or within a couple of months either side of that, so you only have short windows where you can buy,
Right.
So, he's looking to buy more shares there. And he said, don't worry, because there's going to be fluctuations, because the price of copper is down, and,
did you get any indication of upcoming news?
Well, not really. Well, there's a mention of they've got a gold asset as well in Indonesia called July. Okay, now they're looking to either get a joint venture, get farm in someone to help them shoulder the cost of that, or they're going to sell it. And I think there's going to be a sale done. I'm sensing there's a sale in the offing, and I don't know. I think it's very close. I think that's, and that will bring some money on board. So, with resource stock, so you've got a small company of resource stock, and this is the cycle. They go through exploration, essentially looking for assets, and then they test, and they get lots of tests, and they have to prove these tests then, and they go through feasibility studies, pre-feasibility studies, then all the stuff, and then a PEA, and this is just to prove up the asset. Once the asset's there, and they proved it pretty much, and they said this is how much it is, then they have to get this PEA, and that's putting the figures down basically to the finance guys, all the guys, banks, all that, saying, look, this is how much it's worth, this is how much it costs to get it out, this is how much the money we'll make, and it's really broken down, every sort of eventuality. And then they go into development stage, and that's when they build the mine, cost money, raise more money to get the infrastructure in there and start building the mine. And then there's the production stage, the final bit, and that's when they start making money. So the two-thirds, the first two bits, the exploration and production, they don't earn any money, obviously, because it's all raising money. But they've raised money recently, obviously, Asian Met, but they're going to... if they do sell this other asset, this gold asset, in July, then that will, you know, a couple of mil maybe, put in the coffers. So they won't probably need to raise any money. So obviously that will raise the share price again. Because at the moment, you know, the market's hard work. And people are scared of people doing placings all the time. So yeah, it's just drifting. The price is drifting. But there we are. You know, that's what it's like. It'll turn around, you know. So Steve, what are basically the three basic, cycles there of a junior exploration company? What do they go through?
What do you mean?
Hello? Hey?
Yeah?
Steve! So there's three basic elements, isn't it? When a small junior resource stock has to go through three cycles. What do they start off by doing?
I don't know. What do you mean?
You know when I talk, what do? You just go outside somewhere and just stay in the garden. Are you listening? The noise you hear now. Hello. See this noise?
I drift in and out, so you know.
Do you listen to any of this?
Yeah. I listen to your podcast when it's actually on, yeah.
But I said that it's three. That was a minute ago. Exploration. Yeah. What's the next bit?
I don't know.
Oh, even I've forgotten. Right.
Drilling.
No drilling. No. Exploration, development, production. Yeah.
EDP. Yeah, that's the one I had on the tip of my tongue.
That's it. Anyway, we're still on the S of cash, the acronym of cash. Bloody hell. So that's shares, anyway. Check out CEO. Has there been a recent placing? If not, do they need one? How close to the placing price can you buy? The closer, even below it, the better. Like I said, if they got, like Tony there, has raised a lot of funds by friends and, you know, high net worths. And these people are high net worths because they do quite well for themselves. If you've done that and you can get the money, the shares cheaper than them, you're not in a bad thing, because these guys don't want to lose money, you know? So that's a good thing. So if you buy way above their placing price, then, you know, it's not a bad thing if the company's going somewhere, but it's always nice to be on the safe side. And number four, that the H in cash stands for what, Steve?
Haribo,
that's it! Oh, at last, he's on the money. Haribo, yeah.
That's how many Haribo
sweet? You know what I'm saying? Is it sweet? Yeah,
is it sweet?
Yeah. No, it stands for head-on shows. Essentially, what's the track record of the management? Listen or watch to interviews they've conducted. Look, I mean, that's always a good thing. There's plenty of stuff on the internet these days. You know, listen to interviews, watch them. Are they dodgy? You know, what do you feel about them? Are they good at getting their point across? I think that's good. They're very personable and very likable. That's quite good, you know? Doesn't mean they're honest, though, but I quite like that. Read previous updates.
But why do you like that? Because I always think that they're just good salesmen. You know, they
could be very fake, that could.
Yes.
I don't know how much you can read into that.
Well, no, I just think because you have to be a good salesman. As a CEO of a small company, you've got to be pretty much a good salesman, you know? And I spoke to Justin Lewis, Armadale Capital, in the week, and he's very not comfortable at all doing interviews, you know? And he ums and ahs a lot. And I've had a couple of people say on Twitter, he doesn't really give me, you know, inspire confidence at all. Yeah. Now, he could be a genius, the guy, you know?
But I thought Ryan from New World Oil and Gas, he seemed like he wasn't...
Ryan...
What's his name?
Adam Reynolds.
Adam.
Ryan
Adam Reynolds.
Wasn't too good. I thought Ryan was very good.
Yeah.
Well, I think he needs to change Ryan back his name. On. What?
Yeah. I think he needs to change his name. What I think was Ryan. Anyway, Adam. Sorry. Adam Reynolds. That's it. And he seemed quite, if you want, down to earth. He wasn't like overselling anything. He wasn't ramping anything up.
Yeah, nice, wasn't he? That's what I'm saying. And he was being quite. You could feel like you trust him, didn't you?
Yeah, but he wasn't saying anything, like, he wasn't selling anything. He wasn't really sort of saying, and he was being quite honest, and it's going to take a long time, and, you know, all of these. And you sort of start to, you either then believe that, I don't know, there's a certain
Are they personable?
Reassurance.
Exactly, are they personable? Do you trust them? That's what I mean. Look at them. Do you trust them? Do they come across nice? You know, I mean, is the kind of person you wouldn't mind, you know, you could say, you know, have a fiver, give it me back when you want, you can trust them completely, you know, and they'd say, or they'd go out and they'd be the first person to buy a drink or something like that. Just nice, trustable people, you know, just check out interviews with them. I think it's worth a lot how someone comes across sometimes.
But I think what you're saying on some of these companies you've covered in the recent weeks where you've said that, you know, they're nice guys or they're really good guys and they sound really good, a lot of the time they are selling, whereas what I liked about Adam was that I didn't feel he was selling at all, really, because he was sort of being quite honest with it all and just sort of wasn't saying you'll make loads of money in the short term. I don't know.
And the difference is, though, at the moment, he's in the board of directors. He's not CEO, and he can walk away from that, you know. He hasn't got a stake in it as yet, like you said, so I suppose he doesn't need to. When he brings the asset in, he may be a bit more aggressive towards saying, this is a cracking asset.
Yeah, true. Okay.
There's no asset there. As yet. Anyway, read previous updates, promises for them, and see if they stuck to them, you know. Or ask people. You know, Twitter's a good thing for that. And people say, no, he dodged the last company. He went to do this, didn't do it. And also, last in the H, tried to contact them. Why not? If you're an investor or going to be an investor, they should be open to contacts. Very small companies, definitely, you know, not the bigger companies, obviously. But there's no reason why you can't, you know, just say, oh, hi there. And do you know what?
Don't worry about sounding dumb.
As dumb as you can. So, you know, say, I'm not quite sure how this works. How are you making money? How do you make money? You know, I can't see it. You know, be as stupid as you want to, you know. It doesn't matter. You don't have to pretend to be a hot shot, a high flyer. Just say, I don't understand what you're doing, man.
But there's loads of CEOs going, great, we just have loads of people ringing us up now just asking stupid questions.
No, but you'd be surprised, see, people were not ringing us up for CEO, because they think CEO's a CEO, I won't ring him up, he's too busy. You know, but, you know, and the people that do well at shares.
Yeah. Like, just ring him up and go, do crabs think we walk sideways?
I get some cracking... I get some cracking questions. When I set up a Survey Monkey, it's ridiculous ones. In fact, you know what? I should read them out. What was the one I had recently? And I just scroll through them while I'm talking to them. And sometimes I don't have time to pre-read them. So literally, when they're talking, I'm looking through them. And someone suggested some ridiculous question. What was the one for? Where was it? I don't look now. But anyway, that's cash. Did you understand that, ladies and gentlemen?
Yes, I have one other question, though. Like you were just barreling through how you find research on the shareholdings. Likewise, with these small companies, it's quite difficult. They don't seem to list their revenue or their profit or loss. It seems to be...
I noticed that. But also, when you do see the figures, sometimes it's hard to actually... Unless you know what you're looking for, it's quite... They're just numbers to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of what they are, Steve.
I was explaining some sort of secret message or something.
I was scrolling through the questions. Question 7 was, I know it's difficult to miss a question, Mr. Reynolds, but approximately when will you update shareholders as to the direction of the company? Next question. In the pink or one in the stink? And I read that, and nearly read it, you know, because I was just listening and talking, and which went to the next question, almost read it verbatim. In the pink or one in the stink, Mr. Reynolds? Excuse me. And I scroll to the next one, Hobnobs or Jaffa Cakes?
Oh, brilliant. You asked him that,
yeah? And I asked Dave Whitley that, yeah.
I know Dave Whitley, yeah.
So I always get someone asking stupid questions like that, like, you know, what was that one I asked recently? Oh, yeah, someone said, would you prefer to fight a duck the size of a horse, or 100 horses the size of a duck? And the who thought about it? Who was it? Oh, it was Paul Johnson, didn't he? So think about that. I think it's got to be a duck the size of a horse. I think.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. Oh no, a horse. In fact, what would you prefer to fight?
100 horses the size of a duck.
Yeah, I suppose.
But how aggressive are they?
Well, ducks. 100 horses, they're quite fast runners, I suppose. But do you know what? The beak of a duck, the size of a horse, that would take your head off, wouldn't it?
Yes.
But when you think about it, horses, just size of a duck, you just kick them out of the way. Because they can't really, you know, just really plow through them or volume them, volume them left, right, and centre. Woof, woof, woof. You can do that about 100 times, surely. All they can do is they can run, but they can't bite, I don't think. Steve, how's the dating going on?
How's the beta what?
Dating. The game.
All right. I've said something else then. The dating's going right, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've not seen anyone.
Haven't you?
No.
Are you active in the dating arena?
I am, yeah.
Please, welcome to the arena, the dating arena. From the blue corner, Steve. And from the red corner, Pete. Get dating. Dun, 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 dun. Like two guys just, you know, circling each other. Weighing each other up. Then in for the kill, snogging.
With a horse the size of a duck.
Anything else you want to say? What were you going to say? Anything more
you want to talk about? You skipped over my question.
Yes, I did.
Things like revenue and profit loss, on these small companies in particular, they don't really list it. They just say sort of there's zeros or there's an A.
Do you know what? I wish get someone on, actually. I mean, because I know balance sheets. I'm not an expert at balance sheets, but I will look at. I know the basics, so I'll generally look at the revenue. I look at the costs. In fact, let's go to Asia Met, for example. Summary online stock exchange. So you can look at fundamentals. Click the tab fundamental.
Yeah.
And then what you've got there is
revenue zero.
Revenue zero. Yeah. Well, exactly. There's no revenue coming in. They're in exploration phase. Yeah, so they're not going to have any revenue, are they? They're not going to make
any. Well, in the past 5 years, they've been in exploration phase.
There was Kalimantan Gold. They had an asset for ages. Mm-hmm. Didn't do anything. This has been the downturn in commodities, though, so any small sort of place. Yes, but listen, it's only been Asia Met for like half a year, you know, when Tony Manini's come on board. So operating loss, they're, you know, half a million, about 5.57. So there we are. And then scroll down. So that's a basic...
Hang on, you just said it's only been Asia Met for the last 6 months, did you say?
About a year, is it?
Okay, so what does that mean? The company it was before then, they don't list what their
figures are? Yeah, they do, yes. It was Kalimantan Gold. But it's been a change of management and everything, and they were really dragging their heels, dragging their feet, dragging their teeth, dragging their arms, knuckles. They're dragging dead donkeys. They're dragging something. They were taking a long time. They didn't do anything. You know, they kept just... talking about the asset apparently and didn't get anything done. So, but let's look at name a company that needs to turn the revenue. Let's have a look at a company called which. Let's look at something called Servision, for example. In fact, just all you need to do is click on any company, for example. Name a company, Steve. Any company at all, big, small, any size. What do you give me? Company?
Say Sony.
Don't say Sony, Steve. Sony!
Panasonic.
Apple. Say Apple.
I'm going to go for something like Barrett, all right? Homes, something like that. Bellway, which I know quite well.
Wimpy Taylor.
Okay, Wimpy Taylor. Okay, Wimpy Taylor. Right, so just type in. Are you on your internet, Steve, or you're on a phone? What are you on?
My phone.
Okay, that's not good then, is it? Investor relations. So always type in investor relations, all right, and it'll bring up the corporate website, hopefully, all right. so you look around, you think, right, in your ear, because we're here, news, inspired news, yes. Telewimpy PLC. So community of awards, home buyers incentive. All right. In fact, do you want to go and go on? Sometimes when it's hard on this. I can't find their website. In your area, customer service, going to spy. I don't want to do that, no.
I've got it, yeah. /corporate/ corporate /investor relations.
I've got that, yes. I'm there. Share price information, alert service, statement, share price, advice, RNS announcements. There we go. Now we're, lad, now we're in business, lads. Oof, we're excited.
Now we're cooking on gas.
Yeah, so trading statement, all right? You don't want to go for that. You want to go for interims, which are half-yearly, or full-year results. Now, I'd start off, whatever's comes first, look at that first, right? Half-yearly results. So there we go. So it's always good to read the highlights, the first sort of page or so. Highlights, because they have in that, you know, the financial stuff, all the, you know, so there's an operating profit margin up 310 basis points to 19.2%. Return on cash. Cash 300 million.
Can you go through this quicker?
Please? Yeah, sorry. So scroll all the way down. Always go all the way down.
I'm kidding.
All the way down. Spain, balance sheet. Yeah, and you'll see they have to do an income statement. That's legal. They have to do that. So revenue there is $1.335 million, or $1.3 billion, basically. Cost of sales, that's always on there. That's the cost to generate these things. That's $1 billion. So their profit there, gross profit, that's gross profit, $325 million. So balance sheet is always good, right? So you can look at the balance sheet. Cash and cash equivalents. That is very important. Cash, remember that, guys. Say it all together. Cash and cash equivalents.
Cash equivalents.
Remember that on the balance sheet, right? It's only $212 million they've got, so that's how much cash they've got. Tell them.
Which document are you looking at?
That's a lot. I'm looking at their interim statements. So, yes, scrolling down. $212 million they've got in the bank. That's cash. That is cash, all right? And then you look at total assets. You can see total assets there, 4.6 million. But then look at liabilities as well. So tax payables, current liabilities. Current liabilities are short-term liabilities, things. So that's very important. So you should look at that. So trade and other payables, that's things they have to pay. That's 981 and all that. So it's worth looking into that. Do you know what? Just going online. A while back, I looked at a video online and said, and it's on YouTube. I'll put it on the podcast, maybe. How to read a balance sheet. It's quite handy. Just even the basics, looking through. Then look at the cash flow, which is always a good thing to look at. You know, cash flow, that's money coming in and out, counted for. And
see, something like that would have been better than just sending us away trying to do something. We had no idea what we're looking for. Well, for me, anyway.
Yeah.
Send us that video.
So
I'll watch that.
Net cash from, in brackets, used in operating activities. Cash flow is always good. So $16.6 million. That's positive cash generated. You know, that's always good to look at that. So just get familiar. There's four bits. There's there's the income statement, the consolidated statement of comprehensive income, and there's the balance sheet and the cash flow or change in equity, but cash flow as well. So just scroll. I'll look through those and just try and break it down. And then look at a video. There's a video online that I'll put it on the website and just break it down. It's always handy because that there, when it comes to cash flow, you can't lie. You can't lie in that. A company can say things like, EBITDA is up by 10% or operating EBITDA profit and all that. That's earnings before interest, tax, appreciation, amortization, all that stuff. That is rubbish, essentially. That's what they're saying is, we would have made profit if we didn't have to pay tax and interest and all this other stuff. But you do have to pay that. So why even suggest that? You know, I mean, I think it's Warren Buffett said, or Charlie Munger's running man said, EBITDA is a waste of time and lies. I mean, you have to look at, you know, the cash flow. Basically, what are they earning after all this comes out, you know? So you can get lots of... There are statements that will say that. So they'll say adjusted EBITDA profit of this. And then you get down there and they've actually made a loss, you know. Some people are conned by that. So look at cash flow, look at balance statements, and look at how much cash they've got in the bank, essentially. You can't lie in the balance sheet and in the cash flow statement. You can manipulate profit, you know. You can manipulate that. So that's all I'm saying.
Okay, cool.
And, so when it comes to cash, cash is king. Because you know, revenue doesn't stand for anything. If you basically, you know, if you turn over a couple of billion, spending 10 billion doesn't matter, does it? You're making a loss. You're better off not taking any money in at all. So get familiar with balance sheets a little bit, you know, and because they're interesting. But I say interesting from an Iraqi accounting point of view.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
So anything happening in your life, Peter, that's interesting?
Nothing at all that's interesting, no.
Come on, what have you done this week? What have you done?
Just hiding.
Have you? Has anyone found you?
No, because I'm playing hide and seek, but I forgot to find someone to play with.
Okay. Are you the most successful hiding champion ever?
Yeah, it's a one-man game
of hide and
seek.
I've been hiding since 1972. No one's found me yet.
Yeah.
In fact, I'm the only person playing.
Yeah, so...
Well done, Pete.
Thanks, mate.
So, Stephen, what's the one thing you've learned in this podcast?
Do your own research. look at the cash flow statements and stuff. Do you know what? I am going to watch that video you sent because I am interested to find out and learn into more of what I'm investing, because I'd quite openly admit that I have put some money on some shares and not done... what I say every week and done my own research. So it would be good to kind of understand a little bit better. So
Yeah, but that's the way it goes. I mean, most people start. You have to start out somewhere, Steve. I'm not going to, you know, castigate you for starting out and not knowing everything. No. You can't become a guru and then jump in. You know, you've got to actually have practical knowledge of doing it, and you learn as you go. So that's the best way. You know, you're starting to learn. I mean, you know, I learn something new every day. We all do about it. You know, so that's the way forward, isn't it? And yeah, so that's good. What was it? So I always think, always read. I think generally, whenever you look at Cammy, you've got to read the interim statement. Not all of it, because it can be long. Interim is not that long, but the full. Yeah, you know, I think the first highlights, you know, I read generally. And you've got the subtleties sometimes. If they're doing something wrong, there's subtleties in their language, because they won't say, "Listen, oh, we've had a terrible year. Bloody hell, have we had a terrible year? What, lads?" You know, they would never say anything like that, you know, because it's their job to keep the share price up, pretty much, you know. So anything that's a problem, they'll say things like, you know, this section has been a little bit challenged, a couple of headwinds here and there. You know, it's really subtle about what they say. They won't say it's been a nightmare, this section of the business, or we've not seen a tad, we haven't had a customer all year, might as well shut down. You know, they won't say that. So it's almost like you've got to read a statement over and over again and pick out what are they positive about, what are they negative about. And that's where that little trick on ADVFN comes in, you know, where you can highlight phrases. So you select phrases like profit, you type in the phrase you want to highlight, so you can type in profit, loss, challenging, and you can make those words stand out in red, green, and all that stuff. So that's very handy, isn't it? You know what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
So I just think, just get used to reading interim statements, so full year statements and interim statements. Any contract wins or anything like that is also good. But start with the interim statement and the full year, and read the highlights at the top there, and then scroll all the way down and look at the balance sheet, cash flow, revenue statements. They're always worth it. Even if you don't understand, just have a quick glance at them, and because the more you look at them every now and again, the more you'll pick up and think, oh, hang on, that's quite good. Yeah, I understand that bit now. That's that. And you'll sort of do a little bit of math. I understand. So if it sort of makes it, the puzzle will come together like Stephen and Peter, naked in bed, oiled together, slipping up and down each other's bodies in a romantic embrace under a Thomas the Tank Engine duvet.
That's enough for this week, shall we?
That's a wrap.
Steve's getting turned on then. He wanted to go before he got too turned on. Ooh, that's enough. Oof. Right, I'm going to go.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Steve, you don't have to do any warnings now because I've got the warning on there.
What?
I've got one other question.
Come on, Pete.
Well, as we record this on a Friday, and this year Christmas Day is a Friday, are we doing a Christmas Day version?
Yes. Oh. It'll be a Christmas Day special.
Okay, I'm probably not going to be available.
Steve is a Christmas Day special.
With his jumper and his hat, yeah.
Yeah. All right then, boys, we'll just have a picture of Steve, you know, with the baubles out. Lovely. Right, cracking. Have a nice weekend.
Disclaimer. Do your disclaimer, Steve.
I've done one already. Didn't I say something earlier?
Yeah, you did say something, Steve. Marvellous. That's all we need, really. Cheers. Bye-bye.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The people on this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about, so please don't buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation, as it's just opinion. Please do your own research.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.